Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lauren L. of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is currently Monday, November 23rd, 2015, 11 a.m. Lauren L. of the High Desert.com is brought to you by GrowWithLaurenL.com. That's my own personal online marketing services as well as virtual assistant services. I help businesses of all shapes and sizes as well as individuals with promoting whatever it is that they have to promote to build their audience, send out email, build up their social media accounts, online advertising, whatever it is, I assist with all of that. I also work virtually, so I can do everything online and communicate with you easily. I have clients everywhere from Los Angeles to San Diego to here in the desert. And Lauren, or Grow with Lauren L, is what helps keep Lauren L, the High Desert, going. So please contact me if you're interested in those services. I really appreciate it. Lauren L, the High Desert.com is also being sponsored by BNL Transmission in Cathedral City. I give them a big thank you and a shout out. Lauren L, the High Desert.com recently launched an online store. This is really exciting because Lauren L. of the High Desert.com is very personal. I do a lot of different forms of outreach through social media and communicating with the public. And so to have an online store associated with the website is really a great option for artists and authors in the area to reach out to not only residents in the Morongo Basin, but people from all over the world. Because as I will get to later, Lauren L. of the High Desert.com has had visitors from all over the world visit the website. I've been keeping track of it. So I'm seeking artists, authors, sculptors, people who are here in the area that produce artwork who would like to list their item on my store. I already have books listed, but I'm always looking for more entries, and I'm hoping to do more promotion for the holiday season. And so if you're interested in being in the store, please give me email or contact me through Lauren L. of the High Desert.com. I also am announcing that I'm seeking Desert Steward Journalist. That's the term I have coined for it. I'm going to be announcing this more broadly in the future, but I'm actually planning to relocate in March 2016 to Sweden. And so I will not have the direct access to local events as what I do now. Much of what I do through Lauren L. of the High Desert is geared around events here in the Morongo Basin. I go to events, take photos, take notes, and publish the content online through social media and through my website. So I'm relocating, and the good thing is that everything that I do is based online. So it really doesn't matter where I'm located. I can still continue Lauren L. of the High Desert.com. I can still be a voice for desert conservation, desert awareness here in the area. But it is difficult to get to the local events and to really keep that personal touch, which is something that I really support. And so I am seeking Desert Steward Journalists, because what I do, I really view as stewardship, because I go to local events primarily based on the environmental groups in the area, such as the Mojave Desert Land Trust, the Morongo Basin Conservation Association, as well as the Morongo Basin Historical Society, which I think plays a big role in knowledge of this area, and other related groups. The Desert Institute is another one. And these groups do a lot of amazing work in the area for educating people of all ages, small children up to adults. Classes are offered, free workshops. There's also lectures, everything from the Black Rock Lecture to the Old Schoolhouse Lecture. And so really that's what Lauren L. of the High Desert is about, is these primary groups, and as well as the Morongo Basin Municipal Advisory Committee, the MAC group. And so it's stewardship, because Lauren L. of the High Desert.com features on sharing information about the desert region and the landscape, protecting it, efforts being made for conservation and restoration. So if you're interested, this is ultimately the point of this whole thing, is I'm relocating and I'm hoping to reach out to people in the community who who enjoy going to these events, enjoy keeping up with what's happening, and if possible, you can take photos, you can take notes, and you can submit them to me online, and it'll keep that personal touch going between the community and laurenellofthehighdesert.com. And it will also offer many opportunities. You'll be able to learn cutting-edge communication techniques. That's what I'm all about, doing online marketing. I will personally teach you how to use technology, how to send email, how to message if you don't know how to do that. I love teaching these things to people. And I will also give direction in writing. I will help you every step of the way. It's just I am seeking desert stewards to step up and please help contribute to laurenellofthehighdesert.com and be that connection. And I have a lot of opportunities to help you as well. Obviously, your name will be mentioned as a writer, as a photographer. I have options to promote your business if you would like to do work trade. That would be awesome. So please contact me if you're interested in that. I'm really excited to speak more with the community about this and to speak more about how technology can be used to improve communication in the community about local events happening. You can email me directly at laurenlofthehighdesert.com at the website. My email is also laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and meeting you as well. I'm kicking off the show with a piece of history, as I always do, because I love history of the Morongo Basin. This piece of history is coming from a book titled Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 to 2010. It's published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. And the article I'm reading today comes from the year 1944. It's titled The Spirit of 29 Palms, and here's what it says. During World War II, the entire community of 29 Palms responded to a gigantic patriotic plea that challenged their fervor to defeat the Axis war machine. The plea was to buy $75,000 worth of war bonds for the purchase of a brand new P-51 fighter plane for the Army Air Corps. If the bond drive was successful, the P-51 would be named the Spirit of 29 Palms. Sponsoring the appeal was the American Legion Auxiliary Unit No. 334. A kickoff buy a bond dinner was held at the 29 Palms Inn. The U.S. Army Band provided the entertainment. The event was a magnificent success. As thousands of dollars of bonds were sold, in one year, the smallest participating community exceeded the cost of the P-51 by more than $10,000. This exceptional fighter plane was designed on World War II combat experience and proved to be a deadly addition to the conquest of Germany. It was the first fighter plane able to provide fighter escort to B-17 and B-24 bombers deep into Germany and then return to England. The War Department sent a photo of the Spirit of 29 Palms to confirm the plane was on active duty. Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing to hear about the 29 Palms and that it's been around for so long and has hosted so many events. The Joshua Tree National Park Art Expo just went on at the 29 Palms Inn last week. So here we see in 1944, it was a major location for this fundraiser. Very interesting. And it's interesting to think who contributed funds to 29 Palms back then, because the population was so minimal. I question who the contributors were. Interesting to know. Here's events that are coming up in the Morongo Basin. I always welcome events to be shared with me, primarily that relate to education about the environment, environmental conservation initiatives, as well as events that relate to construction in the area, any kind of development, whether it's relating to the water districts, it's relating to structural development or solar energy, any kind of development, I welcome events about that. So if you know of events like that, please contact me at laurenlofthehighdesert.com. All of these events that I talk about, you can actually find them on my website. So if you miss something, then just go to my website and you can go to the event section and everything is listed there. On November 27th through the 29th, there will be the Joshua Tree Chamber of Commerce Holiday Market. It will be at Coyote Corner here in Joshua Tree, which is located at Park Boulevard and Highway 62. This event should be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of artists there. And this, the chamber is actually really proud of this event because they sold all of their booths. They also obtained sponsorship as they desired. And so this event has so far been very successful. There's going to be horse rides, arts, crafts, music, food, and fun. And it's just a great way to meet local artists and local vendors in the area. Again, November 27th through the 29th, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starts at 10 p.m. each day. On December 5th, there will be a public meeting on the Bureau of Land Management's WEMO Transportation Plan. This is primarily concerning off-roading and opportunities available to off-roaders in the coming future. And I know this is a big concern for a lot of residents in the area, primarily about noise issues, dust, and private property, trespassing on private property. The event will be at the Community United Methodist Church in Joshua Tree from 2 to 5 p.m. If you would like to know more information about this, you can go to my website, and there's a website link there. On December 5th as well, starting at 8 p.m., will be DJ Kitten Cat's Dark Party. That is my personal event that I'm putting on for entertainment. It is a dance night, and all proceeds will go to the Beatnik Lounge because the Beatnik Lounge has just been a really great meeting place in the area for musicians, artists, lectures, all kinds of events, and they're just really easygoing. So this is a free event, and it's a themed music night, primarily synth, electronic, post-punk, alt-rock, everything from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and to today. Bands like Oingo Boingo, Sisters of Mercy, Interpol, Jesus and Mary Chain, Jane's Addiction. It's going to be a lot of fun. And again, all proceeds go to the Beatnik Lounge in Joshua Tree. On December 6th, there will be a vegan star party, starting at 3 p.m. going until 10 p.m. This is in Joshua Tree at the, let me check the location, Joshua Tree Astronomy Arts Theater, which is off Sun Fair. There is a lot of information about this event that I'm not going to go through right now. There will be a potluck. If you do not bring something, it's requested that you give $5 to help the event out. And there will be musical performances, and it will be a lot of fun. So everyone should go to that and support the Joshua Tree Astronomy Arts Theater. On December 11th, there will be an old schoolhouse lecture, and the topic is homesteading, the free land idea. This will start at 7 p.m. If you are not a member of the Morongo, I forget what the group is, but there is an admission fee of $5. And this will be really fun. I love the old schoolhouse lectures. It's just really great to hear about the history of the area, and it really brings the place to life. That's all I have for the events right now. Again, if there are any events coming up that I haven't mentioned that apply to what Lornell of the HighDesert.com covers, then please let me know, and I really appreciate it. Here is an article I recently posted about most frequent cities visiting LaurenLTheHighDesert.com. I love to keep track of who visits LaurenLTheHighDesert.com because I think that I get to let the community know that the web is so, in my opinion, it's so special. It's so important. It's how we share information. And the web allows people from outside of the community to see what's going on here because I really view Joshua Tree as a role model community for other communities in the United States and around the world in terms of people coming together, having certain things that they want, that they share, their desires for their community and how they wish it to develop. So just to let you know, Lornell of the HighDesert.com over the past year has received over 4,500 visitors. And the top cities visiting are Yucca Valley, Los Angeles, and San Diego. I'm also getting visitors from New York to San Francisco, Houston, Chicago, as well as the Coachella Valley. And I'm hoping, again, as time goes on, LaurenLOfTheHighDesert.com will just continue receiving more and more traffic. And so this will become a great resource to people here in the community, but also visitors to the area and people from all over the world who want to keep up with what's happening in the Morongo Basin. I did attend events recently in the area that are always fun. I went to a Buckley energy presentation. Some of you may have heard of this, Buck Buckley. He's a resident of Joshua Tree. He offers services to residents in the Morongo Basin and beyond to install solar panels, water catchment systems. He's really knowledgeable of those sectors as well, and he always enjoys sharing information about solar energy and about the energy sector as a whole. So I did take some notes of his presentation. He had been hosting them in the area quite a bit. He did the Yucca Mesa Community Center. He did the Beatnik Lounge. He hosted a lecture at First World here in Joshua Tree. And so I finally made it to his lecture on November 15, 2015 at the Joshua Tree Trading Post in Joshua Tree. And so I'm going to just go over some points that he made. One thing that stood out to me that he pointed out at the beginning of the presentation was he focused on the where the United States is going with its corporate interests. And I thought it was interesting. He pointed out that in U.S. history, the U.S. has been at war for 214 years and has only been at peace for 21 years. And so he asked, why have we been at war for so long? Is it for our interest as the American people, or is it for corporate interest? And I thought that was interesting because I had never thought about that before. But so I did take down some notes on this presentation, so I'll go over them really quickly because I love the subject of solar. It's honestly one of the primary topics that kept my interest here in the Morongo Basin, even when I wasn't living here and I was living in Hemet, and then I was living up in Humboldt. I kept an open ear here about renewable energy development in the area, solar, wind turbines, things like that. And I always like to hear the pros and cons of the situation. And so here are some things that Buck said about solar energy here in the area, but also internationally and nationally. When solar is directly on the ground, such as solar installations in the desert, the panels become dirty faster, which means more maintenance is required, as well as water. Putting solar on a roof can serve multiple functions, such as cooling the rooftop and creating shade on the household, which is really good here in the desert when it gets hot. Freiburg, Germany is labeled as the solar city of the world and will be 100% solar within a year. Germany is decommissioning all nuclear plants by 2020 and is selling energy to the European Union. Germany is shifting so companies do not work at night, only during the day when solar energy is readily available. There is a 15-year-old solar technology on Mars that is still functioning through the U.S. through the use of solar panels and batteries. So he was pointing out that solar can work for a long period of time, as we see on Mars, which is a place that we do not have easy access to at all times, but there is technology there that is still functioning through the use of solar. Panels degrade over time. There are clean CIG panels that can last 1,000 years, but they are currently not permitted to be imported to the U.S. The HERO program was initiated from PACE funds, P-A-C-E funds, designated for energy efficiencies during Clinton's presidency. The federal loan agencies such as FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac discouraged loaning because it put the bank in a second disposition. So the funds grew and accumulated interest. HERO established a method to access the funding by working with counties and cities to put the loan on the property tax bill. Through HERO, you can finance solar installation for up to 20 years. If a homeowner sells a home, the payments will be transferred to the next homeowner. Houses sell faster when solar is already installed. By 1928, most of the U.S. was deforested. Next came coal and then fossil fuels. It was mentioned that when you put panels on the west side of the home, you can collect energy for the peak time evening and also put panels on the east side so energy is collected for the morning. Maximum energy production is not required during the day because the least amount of power is being used. State legislation may declare eminent domain to control the power grid. He mentioned this is because the power companies are not being consistent with their strategies to develop the energy sector, the renewable energy sector. So the government is thinking about taking eminent domain to control the energy sector. Most of the world uses solar water heaters, but not here in the U.S. Homes should have passive solar and heating and cooling. Even pot, a 5-square-mile project to superheat water, does not work. It loses too much energy during the transfer process and harms wildlife. CEO of Energy, the company that built Ivan Pa, admitted the project is a failure and that distributed solar, rooftop solar, is the way to go. Through Edison, the maximum fee is billed when Tier 3 is reached, when it used to be Tier 5. So I took note of this because I recall that when energy usage at a specific home has reached Tier 5, that was when maximum fees were in place for that energy usage, but it's been reduced to Tier 3 now. So if you reach Tier 3 at your home, then you will be paying the maximum rate at Tier 3. The state government currently runs approximately 15% of the grid. Buckley is currently owed $284 from Edison for contributing power to the grid. Edison recently started charging solar users $10 a month for grid maintenance to subsidize large energy users. Buck does not recommend leasing a solar system because the price is then controlled by the solar installer who keeps a 30% rebate, but solar lease is better than no solar. Clean coal is when the soot, also carbon, is sequestered in the ground. This can be released by earthquakes or water table rise. That's all the notes I have. If it went over your head, then feel free to go to my website. I'm going to be publishing it on LaurenElLahighDesert.com, and you can read the notes for yourself there. Also, you can contact Buck Buckley himself, who he offers services in solar installation, water collection, and more. You can go to his website, minutesofsunlight.com, and he's happy to answer your questions. Another event that I attended was a Black Rock lecture. This was actually on Friday, November 20th. It was at the Black Rock Ranger Station in Yucca Valley, which is a really cool place if you haven't been there. It's in the south end of Yucca Valley. And this particular presentation was given by an author and historian. Her name is Betty Meltzer. Let me pull up the information really quickly from her lecture. She did a lecture primarily on information from her book, Losing Ground, Displacement of the San Gregorio Pass, Kaweah People in the 19th Century. She was really sweet, Betty Meltzer. She is a small woman, very lively, very comical at times, and she's located in Cherry Valley. She's lived in California for quite some time, but she's from Hawaii. And she just said that she's had interest in the Native Americans in this region for a long time, the Kaweah people, and it's led her to learn a lot of California history and to learn how these people were managed and how Americans collaborated with them. So here is some information from her. You know, I'm actually not going to go into much depth about her presentation, but I will say that she gave a lot of interesting information and stories about how the Native Americans were dealt with in American history and how Native Americans were promised land, their territories, by the U.S. government, But as Americans continued moving west and resources were found, gold and precious metals, precious resources, also water sources were found. And obviously being here in the west, water sources were a critical thing that was needed for development. Obviously here in Southern California, we know that none of this development would be here if it wasn't for water being here and water being imported. So she explained that as natives were promised their territory, there was a lot of development that wanted to happen and was spurring, and it became challenging because as people moved west, they felt that it was their land. Because I think that we're experiencing that even now with the off-roaders. When off-roaders come here and they see open territory, they just assume it's their land, they can go riding, and then later come to find out, no, what they're doing is illegal. It was the same thing with the natives. The natives had their territory, but as people began moving west and they just saw this open territory, they felt that it was their land that they could build, they could construct a rail line if they wanted to. And so this became very problematic, and it just began cutting down the Native American territory more and more and more. And then the government, it was noted in 18, I did take note of this because I thought it was interesting. In 1871, all treaties between the Native peoples and U.S. government stopped, and the tribes were no longer viewed as sovereign. Tribes now needed a presidential decree to create a reservation. This was due to manifest destiny as more Americans began moving west. So reservations started to be created, but even then, there was, again, just requests for development. Development wanted to happen. So that was a big part of her presentation. And she also noted different people in the Southern California region that played critical roles in development of water, energy, that impacted the Native American peoples. And this is one of my favorite parts of American history, because I know in Los Angeles, when you're in L.A., we hear of different cities like Van Nuys and all these different road names. Pico is one. And so personally, for me, when I first started going to Los Angeles, those names never meant anything to me. I just thought, oh, that's a road name. That's it. Or that's a city name. But then more as I learned more about California history, these names begin to pop up. It's like, well, Van Nuys was a big farming family, and then there's the Pico family. And when you get into the Inland Empire, the same thing. You begin to hear about farmers in the region and ranchers who at one point had, you know, huge parcels of land and were major contributors to the economy in that area. Their names are all over the place on roads and structures and buildings and dams, Barker Dam. Even here in the Morongo Basin, you begin to learn more about Keyes Ranch and who was Keyes and Barker Dam and other people in the area. So her presentation was just full of names that, for me, was like an aha moment. Like, oh, that's why we have that road, and that's why we have this name for that building. It's because of the people here in the area who played a big role. And, okay, so that's, I'm going to really quick just sum this up. I also went to a cleanup hosted by the Mojave Desert Land Trust on November 21st. And this started at 9 in the morning. It was at the Windy Gap area, which is a newly acquired territory for the Mojave Desert Land Trust north of the Mojave Desert Land Trust headquarters. And so I did receive some information. There were 35 volunteers that showed up. 11 students were from Santa Monica College. 5 came from the Yucca Valley High School. And there were 12 truckloads of trash. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please go to my website, laurenelleofthehighdressers.com, for more information. I appreciate all the support, and I hope all of you have a great week.